columns and videos delivered to your inbox every morning. Register for the free Denver Sports Daily at 1043thefan.com.
Go to 1043thefan.com and subscribe to The Fan Daily for the latest columns, blogs, news, videos, and more sent directly to your inbox every weekday morning.
Sports Radio 1043 The Fan presents Stokely and Zach.
All right, I got a deal. And we can play this game. Deal or no deal?
Oh, I like Deal or No Deal.
I love that show. Are they still doing that show?
I don't know. I see it on TV every now and then. I don't know if they're reruns or not. The video game's cool, too. You know, you go to Dave and Buster's or whatever. They got Deal or No Deal there.
Right, right. It was
no deal. I just no deal every time. Don't even ask.
I want it all, or yep. I walk away with nothing.
Yep. Never settle for the deal.
That was a great game there for a minute. It was Howie Mandel, right?
Yes.
Howie Mandel was the host of it.
Yep.
And so maybe we can play this. I like this. Maybe we can play this with Broncos here moving forward. I'm gonna make a note of this because this could be too fun. But if we did Deal or No Deal, and I offered you a deal when it came to games played, and I'll throw this to the RamosLaw.com text line as well, 303-713-1043. If I guarantee you would see Bryce Callahan for 10 of the 16 games, would you take that right now or roll the dice? Deal or no deal? 10 games.
10 games, Bryce Callahan. I saw the video. There's a video out there. He looks great. He's healthy. He's ready to go. He's been injury prone his whole career. So would you take 10 out of 16 or roll the dice that you might get less than that? You could get none again.
I'll just let you know what the games that he's played in his career. He's played in 9, 11, 12, 13, and 0.
Oh, man.
So he's gone over 10 games three times, under 10 games twice.
And barely over, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what were the over ones again?
11, 12, and 13.
Okay. You know what? I'm going to gamble on Bryce Callahan this year. Had a year off. He's hungry. He looks good in the workout, little workout video. I'm going to gamble on this one, even though that might be a mistake. And I probably should settle for the 10 games there and just take the risk out of it with him. A guy we didn't see him at all last year.
Right. We'll figure out the other 6 games, but if you told me he's got 10.
No, I'm going to gamble on it, though. I'm going to gamble on Bryce Callahan.
No deal.
No deal. I'm pressing my luck. See what I did there? Press your luck. That's also a fun one.
That's
back now. It's back. I've seen that new episodes of that, by the way. Love that. No whammies. Press your luck, right?
I've never seen that.
No?
No.
What? No whammies. No whammies. Big bucks. Stop.
I have never seen this show.
And then the whammies come out. They start dancing and stuff. Oh, come on, man.
It looks like Press Your Luck was this mid to late 80s?
Yeah, it's back, though.
Okay.
It's back. And so I just saw it about a month or two ago. Anyway, I'm pressing my luck here, and I'm going for it. And just saying, you know what, even if he can't play, I'm still optimistic that we'll find somebody over there. But I want Bryce Callahan, hopefully, for all 16 games, and he's healthy for all 16. So I'm not settling for a 10-game here. I'm saying no deal.
Okay. No deal. You're hoping for more. You're closing the briefcase.
Yes.
No deal.
Closing it.
Okay.
The briefcase. You close the little thing over the little.
Oh, that's right. It's like over the deal button.
The buzzer,
you put the glass back over.
Yes.
That's right. That's right.
Yes.
Good memory there. I think I would take this deal.
You would take it.
I don't blame you, really.
I just feel like I wanted to gamble with them.
Yeah.
That's probably a smart move.
I just. The thought of that guy playing 2 games for the Broncos this year is so real and realistic. Man, I'd take the 10 games, better than half the season. We'll patchwork it through the other 6 games. But if I got you for 10 games, when Bryce Callahan's healthy, he's a good football player. You know, and that's what happens when guys have an injury history and they haven't spent any time here. Like, Broncos country hasn't seen that guy up close and personal making plays in a Broncos uniform. But when that guy was right, and we went back and watched some of his work, when that guy was right and he was playing for the Bears, he was healthy, he was a good football player. So
I watched the whole complete wrong game and was wondering.
Stunning.
Yeah. I mean, can you.
But not so stunning.
Right. That was not my finest moment.
You're like, this guy isn't even in the picture, man.
I can't even find him. I'm watching the whole game looking for number 20, whatever, and I'm just like, maybe he shows up in the fourth quarter or something, and just never was, and go back and read the email, and it was the wrong year I was watching.
You and those emails.
Yeah. The Packers, it was the Packers-Bears, right, and they had opened the season up, I think, 2 years in a row or something.
Yeah, they did.
I watched the whole wrong game.
Oh, my goodness.
That was not a good feeling. Tell you what.
What about we'll do the same game for Juwan James? All right. And by the way, some of the reaction here on the RamosLaw.com text line 303-713-1043. 10 games, take the deal. Someone else, Stokes gambling too much.
Yeah, probably so. Probably so on that one.
Someone says Bryce Callahan has a better chance of tearing his Achilles than playing 10 games.
Oh, wow.
Jeez.
Let's not go, please.
The 10 games that he plays are the first 10, I'll take it. Someone says, no deal. 10 games with Callahan and 6 without, we wouldn't win all 10 with him. We'll probably finish under 500. Go inside. Okay. This is someone. I got inside info on Bryce Callahan. Oh. Dude is all about the money. All right. We got NFL insiders on the text line.
There we go.
Appreciate that info. All right, let's do the same thing for Juwan James here.
Okay.
If I said, now Juwan James's career, man, now we've talked about this in the past, but it's been a couple months.
You brought this up.
Yeah, it's been a couple months.
Astute. Yeah, studious. And went back and looked. He's every other year guy.
Juwan James' career, it's almost like you have to approach it like climate as opposed to weather. Like climate's different than weather, right? Weather's like, what's the weather today? Like, what is it today? But climate, it's like you take a step back, you look at the last 50 years. Well, what is the weather usually like on this day? What is it usually like in the month of June? And I think with Juwan James, you have to do that. Because the weather.
Look at you. I mean, that was really deep right there.
Thank you.
I was like, where is he going with this? Just like the whale thing. You know, I forgot everything that you said about the whale, but like the whale's tongue is bigger than a.
It's as heavy as an elephant. Yeah.
Okay. All right. See, I remembered it. But that was deep like that, too. Like, how is he going to come around with this and just bam, you did it. Well, you stuck the landing.
Because I think his career with the Broncos is that's the weather. That's the most recent. That's what we have on the top of our mind. But the climate of his career says he misses every other year. He misses half of a season or more every other year. Comes in the league, plays 16 games. Next year, he plays 7. The following year, he plays 16 again. The following year, he plays 8. The next year, he plays 15. The following year, he plays 3. So at this point, it's an actual up and down trend. So this is the bounce back year for Juwan James. So with that in mind, I'll say, deal or no deal, would you take 11 and a half games from Juwan James?
Oh, you moved it up.
I did.
To 11 and a hook.
Mm-hmm.
See, that wasn't cool because I'd already had my answer for the 10. And now you switched it up on me. Now I'm like,
It's a different human being, different climate.
Yes. My money just went up. You know, I got the million. I got the 500,000 still on the board. And my money just went up. And I was ready to say no deal. And I was going to say no deal on the 10. But now you went to 11 and a half. Now I got to regroup.
He's got to play 3/4 of the season for this to be right.
Now I have to regroup. Oh. That's a tough one for me because, like I said, I was saying no deal on the 10. But now you're saying 11 and a half. So what does he play? He plays into the 12th game and a half of that.
Wait, say that one more time, please.
Well, you said 11 and a half,
11
right?
And a half, yep.
So he plays like he did Houston game. He plays a half into the 12th game.
That's right. That's right.
So he doesn't complete 12, but he plays in that 12th.
That's right.
Which is important.
And maybe you get off to a good start like you did in Houston.
And you don't even need him in the second half. Man. Oh, that's a tough one. And I'm willing to gamble. I gambled on Bryce, and that probably wasn't the smart move, but I was willing to gamble on that position and say even if he doesn't play and we strike out and he doesn't give me those 10 games. Then we'll manage over there. It's not like he's an all-pro player. Okay, he's not you know, a top five corner. He's a good solid one. So I was willing to gamble on him. Juwan James, hey, I'm pushing the buzzer, Zach.
You're pushing the buzzer.
I pushed the buzzer. I'm taking the deal.
You're
give me the 11.5. I mean, that's too risky to pass up. For sure, 11.5 games from Juwan James and risk and gamble that he might play zero for you or he might play 60-something snaps again. It's just too important position. He's too important player. You've invested too much money. The risk-reward right there, I don't think you could – you can't overlook that and just gamble in that position. You got to take that deal. I think that's an absolute no-brainer. Like I said, 10 games, I was thinking about it. 11.5, you made the decision for me.
Okay. I would not take that deal.
You would not take it.
I would not take that deal because I'm going to trust his history in the bounce back seasons. 16 games, 16 games,
wow.
15 games. I'm going to trust the climate of Juwan James's career. And I need that guy to play 15 games for me.
Gosh, I like how you did that. But you're wrong here. You took the safe way out with Bryce Callahan, which was probably the smart move. And I think it's too big of a gamble not to take it. Broncos country, would you take that deal? 303-713-1043, RamosLaw.com, text line. I think you have to take that one, though, Zach. It's too important to gamble on.
That, you know what? You're making a lot of sense, but that's what makes it a gamble.
Sure.
Because it's
you
just
want
that.
It. Hey.
I got to read you this one on the text line. Juwan James' career has been nothing but a giant rose petals. Do I play this year? Pluck. Or do I not?
That's pretty good. Oh gosh.
All right, well
the Broncos need him, and hopefully it's one of those years, and hopefully it's like the climate, right? He's shown us that second year of not playing after that first year, he shows up and he plays a lot of football games.
Yep, we'll see. Hopefully that's the case for the Broncos, and if it's not, he will be gone after this season.
Yes.
You can be sure about that.
And it might go down as the worst free agent signing of John Elway's tenure.
Oh, my goodness. And that's a real possibility, what you just said right there.
If he doesn't perform at all. I mean, that's how many million it was guaranteed?
Oh, my gosh. It was
32
million guaranteed.
So
$51 million contract, $32 million guaranteed. Mm. Holy moly.
I mean, he's got to play.
Yeah, he's got to play. Got to play. All right. Are we rethinking week 5 for the Broncos? The dynamics have changed. We'll dive into it next.
It's Stokely and Zach on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Those reactions coming in on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. Couple good ones. And we'll get back to the conversation that we were having about Bryce Callahan and Juwan James. But first, Stoke, we said that we would get back to this earlier in the show. Are we rethinking week 5, Sunday, October 11th, is the date that the Denver Broncos will travel to the East Coast? It'll be their third East Coast trip in 5 weeks. It's to start the season, by the way. Going to Gillette Stadium, knowing now that Cam Newton more than likely will be the starting quarterback for the Patriots.
Look, I mean, you look at the situation now, and for me, when I look at it, I had them losing it to begin with. So, obviously, I think it just gets tougher for the Broncos and making that trip out there. Especially if Cam Newton is under center, which it looks like he'll be. I don't see him, if he's healthy, losing out to Stidham. So if he's healthy, he'll be the quarterback, and it just makes him a better football team with him at the quarterback position. So I think that's going to be a tough game regardless of who the quarterback is, and especially if it's Cam Newton. We've seen him play at a very high level. So for me, it doesn't change the outcome. That I was looking at with that game because I had them losing it to begin with. And certainly now I still have it as a loss.
Well, you know, there seems to be like a narrative around Cam Newton, and maybe narrative's the wrong word, but especially around here because of what happened with Super Bowl 50, that Cam Newton's just a bad football player and he stinks, and you know it's one of those things that's it's just a sweeping, dismissive nature from Broncos country because of how bad that he got thumped in the biggest game on the planet 4 years ago, or 5 years ago, I guess I should say now. And yes, that is all true, and that story definitely deserves to be told, and it's a fun one to tell. But the roster, I mean, when was the last time that Cam Newton would have played on a roster like the one he'll have in New England? I mean, that is a really, really good football team over there. At one point this past year was like, was it this past year or the year before that it was like Patriots winning the Super Bowl was like 1-1. It was like Patriots or the field. Was that last season through like 5 or 6 games?
Well, I mean, they were 8-0, I think, after 8 games, something like that.
Then I think it was
so
this past year.
Yeah, might have been this year. But yes.
The defense is Stoke. It's so good. They gave up just 14 points a game last year. It was the best defense in football. They got the defensive player of the year, the best cornerback in football, along with Tre'Davious White there in Buffalo. They're just really, really good. And
yes.
And if you're telling me that Cam Newton is healthy, and he's had the shoulder, he's had the Lisfranc, but if you're telling me he's healthy, and I just trust that those words are true, beating the Patriots just got harder. Like, you can't tell me that it was going to be tougher with a guy who hadn't played a snap of NFL football, Jared Stidham, who was, what is he, a fourth-round pick, something like that, out of Auburn, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You just can't tell me in his fifth game he'd be better. The Patriots would be better off with him than a guy like Cam Newton, a veteran at the position who's been to the biggest game, who's won MVPs, and who's dynamic.
So, what do you have it? What are you doing with that game now?
Well, I'm telling you.
Because you have it as a win.
I have it as a win. I have it as a win. And I'm looking at the big board of predictions here, how I have the beginning of the season shaping up, and I think I need to make some changes.
Oh, you want to make a lot of changes, huh?
I may be living in Candyland. I may be living in some other universe because I haven't beaten the Titans to start the season. I do have them losing to the Steelers in week 2. But from there, I haven't beaten the Bucs at home. I haven't beaten the Jets on the road. I haven't beaten the Patriots on the road. And I haven't beaten the Dolphins on the at home. The one difference I think I need to make an alteration is I don't think they're flying back east in consecutive weeks and going 2-0 there.
No, it ain't going to happen. It's just not going to happen. And both those teams are good, solid football teams. I mean, you're not talking about just pick a bad team the last year.
Say Dolphins.
Bengals.
Yeah, Bengals. Sure.
Dolphins actually came on at the end.
Yeah, they did. They did.
And they beat the Patriots. But let's say the Bengals. I mean, that's not who you're playing. I mean, the Jets are going to be a much improved team, finish the season strong. Patriots just got they're well coached, obviously. And, you know, they got a good, solid football team. And so there's no chance. I don't want to say no chance, but the likelihood of the Broncos going back-to-back East Coast trips, early starts, on the road, and winning both of those games are very, very slim.
And that's why I think I need to make a move here. Because I have the Broncos starting off 5-1.
You're living in that's Nick Ferguson world right there.
Am I living in Nick's 12-4 world?
That's
well, I have them 9-7, which
right.
I think is incredibly reasonable.
No, that is. But the 5-1 start, I think, is a little unreasonable.
Because I'm assuming too much. I'm making assumptions. Let's not forget they have Titans Week 1. I know they're playing here in Denver, but the Titans were just in the championship game, were they not?
They absolutely were.
I mean, they're playing in the AFC Championship game. The most of that roster's coming back.
Had a lead.
Had a double-digit lead on the
second
world champs.
Quarter.
Yeah, they did. And it's a tough physical style that travels well. And then they go to Pittsburgh. Then they have a Hall of Fame quarterback and a really good roster in Tampa Bay. Back-to-back trips east against a revamped Jets roster who had one of the better off-seasons in the league this year. And then you have a win-now roster with a former MVP quarterback in Cam. I just think I'm assuming too much. It's not, you know, the NFL, it'll humble you time after time. And Man, but I tell you what, if I don't have him starting that fast, where are the wins coming from?
Right.
I mean, you got to go to Atlanta. If we think that that's going to be, you know, sunshine and rainbows, I think we're crazy. You know, beating the Raiders on the road. When's the last time that happened? 2014? I mean, seriously, I think that's the last time the Broncos won on the road against the Raiders.
Really?
I believe that's the case.
Wow.
They've split every single season since then, including the Super Bowl season. You got to go to the Chiefs. You got to go to the Panthers. Now, that should be a win, but it's not going to come easy. You know, you got the Buffalo Bills coming here. Bills could be playing in the AFC Championship game this year. You know, the Chargers, they're going to present their own challenges. You know, people could argue that the Chargers, top to bottom, have a better roster than the Broncos. So, you know, I am taking a step back here. I want to be excited. I want to be optimistic, but I also want my head to be on my shoulders and understand how hard it is to win games in this league. And that's a fine line to walk, your partner.
Yes, it is, partner. Certainly is.
Certainly is, partner.
That's right. I think you look at this early stretch, and it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for the Broncos, young offense, trying to hit the ground running. But obviously, the defense needs to play great early on. So 5-1 that you have them, I think that's a little bit of a stretch there. If they could make it through those five games and have a winning record, if they could be is that the fifth game or the sixth game?
It's the fifth game against the Patriots.
Yeah, so they can make it through those first five games and be 3-2. And before the Patriots are playing the Jets, or do they play the Jets after?
They play the Jets the week before on Thursday
right.
Night Football.
Okay, so, yeah, so they can go back-to-back road trips out east, early starts, all that stuff we're talking about, and they can come out of the first five games 3-2. That is a huge win for the Denver Broncos.
Mm.
It's a tough start, tough stretch there, and if they can have any kind of winning record and just not have a losing record, that's a big win for the Broncos. Because like you said, you look at the first game of the season, that's not going to be an easy game. Tannehill's back for year two. They feel good about what they're doing. And Derrick Henry played great defense, run the football. Like you said, that type of style travels well on the road. And we'll even have fans in the stadium at that point. So that's not going to be a cakewalk.
No.
Titans are a well-coached team that's a tough football team that, you know, they're tough. They made it to the AFC Championship for a reason. They're a good football team. So you look at some of the games early on, they're tough games. You got Brady coming here. I know he struggles here, but at the same time, it's still they got a good roster there. Second week going to Pittsburgh. So that if you could make it out of that after five games, like you're telling me, deal or no deal, we're playing that last segment.
Yeah.
With Bryce Callahan, the over-under on his games, and Juwan James. Well, if you could say, hey, we'll give you right now after five games 3-2, I think you slam it and you take that deal and you don't even think about it. That's a huge win for the Denver Broncos.
Interesting conversation that we will be going back to at a certain point in time, whether it's today or later this week. But first, John Elway turned 60 years old yesterday. If you could give John one birthday present not involving the quarterback position, what would it be? Think about that. Hear your answer next.
You're listening to Stokely and Zach on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
John Elway turned 60 years old yesterday. Happy birthday to the legendary John Elway. And if you were going to give John a birthday present not involving the quarterback position, what would it be? And you kind of got to think outside the box for this one.
Yes.
But when I say that, because I think the obligatory answer would be, you know, well, that he found his franchise quarterback. Right?
Right.
That's the low-hanging fruit there. And even though that it's true, kind of think outside the box here. If we removed the quarterback position, what would a gift to John Elway be, Stoke?
Well, I think, you look at the issues, right? What have the issues been? So what would a great gift be? You know, I don't, you know, I'm not going to say, oh, give him another Super Bowl. right?
Right.
I mean, you're kind of looking at this roster maybe and some of the flaws with it and some of the issues.
Bingo.
Quarterback is number one, but we're not going to touch quarterback. Second is what? Offensive line, right? I mean, that's it. So, I mean, whether you want to say figure out the offensive line as a whole, which I think he's, you know, we got Reisner. I think Sir Lloyd Cushenberry at center is going to be good. That's, I question Glasgow and how good he's going to be. I think he's going to be an upgrade, but I don't think he's going to be a Pro Bowler.
I think I'm a little bit higher on Glasgow than you.
I think you are.
You are. I really liked what I saw in that tape that we watched. I really liked what we saw.
When we did see him on the field, because you know he was rotating. So let's not forget that also, Zach.
It's worth mentioning.
I think it's worth mentioning. But we'll see. We'll see what it looks like. Because I don't think we'll be rotating him here. Hey, how about this one? Figure out the tackle positions.
I like that. Figure out the tackle position.
Both of them have been a huge headache here for years. Trying to find a left tackle, trying to find a right tackle might have been more of an issue. We've thrown money at Donald Stevenson. Mm. Let's try Menelik Watson. Mm. Now let's go with Juwan James. We'll make him the highest.
Oh, there was someone else before that. You forgot someone.
Well, are you talking about Schofield or Sambrylo?
After those guys.
After those guys.
Jared Valdir.
He was before Menelik and Donald Stevenson?
No. He was after, but before Juwan James. I think he was 2018.
Traded for him from the Cardinals. Mm-hmm. That's right. So, let's trade, you know, assets, draft picks, throw all kind of money at the right tackle position, and it's just been a complete disaster. Fail after fail after fail. And so I think figure out the tackle positions, and I don't know, right tackle might be more of a headache than the left tackle spot. Mm. What would you say? Do you have one that you would say other than that? I mean, I think that would be...
That's a good one. I have that down here.
You do?
And I don't know if you have that in our rundown.
Nope, haven't looked at it today.
Okay. I have a franchise left tackle as a proposition there. And again, we're trying to figure out a birthday gift for John Elway, who turned 60 yesterday, not involving the quarterback position. How about long run with a coach?
Oh, that's a good one. I didn't think about that one.
Kind of dispel the narrative that he's hard to work with. Hurricane John, run you out of town, 5 offensive coordinators in 5 years.
Did you just give him that nickname? I've never heard the Hurricane John.
So I actually read that a year ago, and I'm trying to remember what outlet it was, but he was developing a reputation as a, you know, hurricane.
Coach killer.
Yeah, coach killer.
Yep. Yeah, right, which is the fact. I mean, you look at what's happened here. And
they come and go.
Right. I didn't think about the coach aspect there. We'll give him a coach that's going to be with him for 10 years.
Yeah, right. Right.
Man, that's a good one.
And how about this one? You know, to become owner somehow, some way of the Denver Broncos. I think that is, I don't know how in play that is, but if.
That's a big birthday gift.
That's like a $3 billion.
Lot of money.
That's a whole lot of money. That's about a $3 billion birthday gift, give or take. But I think that there's one out there. I think that there's one out there for John that would be the perfect gift. It's realistic. And I think it would be some mascara for what he didn't do. Details next.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Zach.
All right, so we were just having a conversation on if you were going to give John Elway a gift, if you could manufacture something that he doesn't currently have outside the quarterback position. And, of course, happy birthday to John Elway, who turned 60 years old yesterday. We're going through a couple of these gifts, right? Could it be, you know, a franchise tackle or tackles, a long run with a coach after a narrative kind of out there that they come and they go here in the last handful of years? Could it be, you know, become owner of the Broncos? Well, we're thinking outside the box here, and I think I have a good one, Stoke.
I'll decide.
Okay. Bradley Chubb becomes an all-world player.
That's a good one.
Because we have to remember what John didn't do when he drafted Bradley Chubb. There was a need at the quarterback position.
Was there? I thought we had a Case.
There was a need at the quarterback position.
Your guy, Mr. Author. Sorry.
No. Case, it turned out to be not good. Not good. And the realization set in, you know, week after week, chapter by chapter, it would set in that it wasn't the answer. But Bradley Chubb, he was sitting there at five, and I heard the guys go back and forth on this on Friday, I believe, Columbus and
yes.
DMAC.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we'll get to that here in a second. But there was Josh Allen sitting on the board there, who looks like a really, really intriguing young player that I happen to be a huge fan of, and I know you are too.
Yep.
There's the MVP of the league, you know, Lamar Jackson. Also there, a part of the Hall of Fame five. And it's one of these things that you can play what if, right? There was a lot of great football players that looked like great football players taken in that first round, by the way. Guys like, you know, Quentin Nelson, Roquan Smith, Minkah Fitzpatrick, Tremaine Edmonds, Derwin James. I mean, there are some real players that look like future All-Pros, in some cases already are. But by taking Bradley Chubb, John Elway opened himself up to the type of criticism or just conversation that was taking place with our drive show on Friday. But if Bradley Chubb is an all-world player, and he's the guy that we thought he could be after his rookie year before it was derailed with an ACL season-ending injury, if he can be that guy, you make a lot of those questions, even if Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson go on and have great careers, you still know you got yourself a great player.
Yes. I like that one. That's a good one. I didn't think about that one. If I had to pick one of the four or five that we've talked about now, you know, I said the tackles. Figuring the tackles out would have been mine. But then you gave some good ones that I hadn't thought about. You talked about the coach. Having a Vic Fangio here for the next 10 years. We're giving John Elway his birthday gift, and it's not the quarterback position here. And so a coach here for, say, the next 10 years. I mean, okay. The other one was, okay, can be owner of the Broncos. I think that's a little far-fetched there. That's just crazy.
Okay. What makes it crazy, by the way?
Well, I mean, look, I mean, somebody else is going to have to buy it. He'll have to be part of the group, right? And so he ain't going to be the owner. He ain't going to be calling the shots. Maybe they make him the president, but he ain't going to be the, you know, quote-unquote owner.
Okay. He can't like, lead up an ownership group like happens so often around the league?
I guess he could lead it up, but somebody's going to be – whoever puts that money up, I mean, they're going to be the owner.
Right.
You know, I mean, he could be the face of the ownership group, but, I mean, nobody's going to say, oh, John, hey, we like you so much, we're going to let you be the owner.
Okay. Makes sense.
Right?
Makes sense.
You see, like, these ownership groups that happen, and, you know, whether it be Alex Rodriguez and J-Lo trying to put an ownership group together, right? But still, somebody's going to pony up the money, and they'll have a little piece of it, but, I mean, somebody's going to own, you know, 90% of it, and maybe they – I don't know how it all works, but that's my thoughts on that. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
No,
anyway.
Okay. When you said it's far-fetched, I was agreeing with you. I just wanted to know what made it far-fetched.
Okay. So, and then the other one, the Bradley Chubb one, I think is really good also because you look at that pick, how early it was, and if he does work out, what that means for this defense and what that means for that pick, and you didn't mess that one up. But the one that I like the most now is the coach. I think that's a really good one because that tells me that we've had sustained success around here for, you know, a decade. And things have been going pretty good if you have a coach for that long and you're winning a lot of football games.
That's what it would signify.
Yeah, so for me, I would say, hey, give me that the best birthday wish for John Elway is he doesn't have to go on a coaching search again in the next, let's just say 5 years. I mean, if you want to say 10, that's unbelievable. But if you say in the next 5 years, John Elway doesn't have to look for another coach, things have been pretty darn good around here in Broncos country.
Shouldn't that be the case, though? Like, shouldn't Vic, he's already been here for 1 year. Shouldn't he be here in 2024? Like, that's not the plan for him. He should be here. The Broncos should be winners.
Well, yes. I mean, but that's always the plan when you hire a coach. And after 1 year, like, that's the plan is our coach to be here. That was the plan for Vance. That was the plan for Gary. That was the plan for John Fox. And plans don't always work out like you want them to. So that's the problem here is everywhere around the league, I mean, their plan is to have their new coach be there for the next 5 years. But it doesn't work out that way for most coaches and most organizations.
Well, you know, this brings up a more broad question. And someone was asking it on the text line in relation to what we were talking about with the schedule, with the early portion of the season. It's really tough. I think you could argue it's the toughest stretch of the season. Someone says, what if they start 0-4? And I don't think any of us think that's going to happen, but to think that it can't, I think, would be naive.
Right.
Because you're playing a Titans team who was just in the AFC Championship a year ago. You're playing on the road in Pittsburgh against a Hall of Fame quarterback with a potential Super Bowl roster. You're playing Tom Brady and the Buccaneers, who may come in here as favorites, by the way. And then you fly back east to play a revamped New York Jets team with a terrific offseason underneath their belt. And, you know, all the dynamics that come with playing in that early game on the East Coast on Sunday. Historically, it has not been good for the Broncos. It has almost been the same measure of, like, how teams come here to start the season. In week one, when the Broncos start the season in Denver, week one, they have the best opening season record in the NFL. But you look at the times that when they have to travel to the East Coast and play in that early game, it ain't good at all. So do I think that they're going to find a way to go 0-4? No, I don't. But they just did it last year, and their schedule this time is tougher than it was. And, I mean, it's not – I'm not trying to go negative Nelly
here.
No,
but that's real, right? I mean, That could happen. I think if they do, you know, to the question on the RamosLaw.com text line, if they do, look, I mean, you just stay the course. I mean, there's no panic. I mean, you got a 16-game schedule. You're not all of a sudden benching your quarterback. You're not firing your coach. You got to stay the course. You got to have a plan in place and stick it through for 16 games. And then, you know, you stick your head out of water and you look around, and then you make changes if you need to make changes, or you stay the course another year if you feel like you started heading in the right direction. But you don't panic after 4 games of the NFL season. You just don't do it. You look at what you have, and obviously that would be not the ideal start, but at the same time, it could happen. It could happen, but you play 16 of them, not just 4. So you just stay the course with your plan, and you stay with what you're doing. Drew Lock's your quarterback. Vic Fangio's your coach, and that's what you do.
Okay.
And hope it gets better.
Yeah. Well, if that did
what
happen.
What would you do? What would you say?
I would do the same thing as you. Stay the course. Continue to play Drew Lock. First of all, no matter what happens this year, if Drew Lock is healthy, he's playing. Period. End of discussion. There's nothing else at play. It doesn't matter if he has a 5-interception game. That guy is starting the next week. And if he follows that up with a 5-interception game,
what happens then?
He's playing the next week.
What happens if he follows that up with a 2-interception game?
Well, Driscoll's got to play.
Oh, no. He's playing the next week.
He's playing the next week. There is nothing that can happen that a healthy Drew Lock would not play. The number one goal for the 2020 season, let's not forget what it is. It's not about making the playoffs. We are in the discovery mode of the court process. We have to find out whether Drew Lock is a franchise quarterback. And if he shows you that he's not over and over and over and over and over again, well, guess what? The Broncos will move on. They'll wash their hands with him. They're not up to their eyeballs in debt with him in terms of a draft pick or, you know, cost. They can move on, but they cannot have the uncertainty. I would rather Drew Lock fail week after week after week and the Broncos move on than, you know, have him get injured and it be a cloudy picture We need a definitive answer at that position because the roster is being built. Take away the quarterback, and we're all optimistic about Drew, but the roster is being built. So if Drew fails, then someone else is going to come in here with a nearly add water and stir type of roster.
But when you look at Jeff Driskel, that's the good thing about having him on your roster right now.
Good
it
point.
Doesn't matter about what Drew Locke does. Like you said, if he throws five interceptions here, five here, three here, two here, it doesn't matter. If he's healthy, he's playing 16 games. We know 100% conclusively that Jeff Driskel's not our future franchise quarterback. He's not the answer. So that's one good thing about not having a, Cam Newton, Jameis Winston as your backup and having a guy like Jeff Driskel. Like, we want a better option there, certainly. And the best option is KKFN, KKFN, HD1, Longmont, Denver.
Columns and videos delivered to your inbox every morning. Register for the free Denver Sports Daily at 1043thefan.com.